You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app. All right, we are here. It is the first edition of Minor Talk post-game presented by Jack in the Box. We are live from our 600 ESPN El Paso studios. Guys, Mother Nature knocked us off the airwaves. I can't believe this one right here, guys. I mean, it's the first edition of Minor Talk, and we're not even on terrestrial radio? What is going on here? No, I'm just kidding. It's all thanks to what happened yesterday with all the lightning delays and all that kind of stuff that happened all across El Paso. And as a result, we had El Paso Chihuahuas baseball that, had to go with the doubleheader. And they had to start here at 4 o'clock here local time. Here we're starting here at 5 o'clock local time our side. And nonetheless, we are here. We are live for our first edition of Minor Talk. And we're so excited. We've got a new sponsor, guys. It's Jack in the Box. Zay, Alberto, both of you guys had a chance to have a little Jack in the Box. They hooked us up in a big way. Alberto, big shout out to Jack in the Box for joining in on this one.
Most definitely, guys. Jack in the Box is a place to be. I have to remind everyone from El Paso, it's open all day, every day. So me, as a guy who works overnight, I'm there a lot. So what I usually get, I'll get everyone to get what I get, is I'll go for the Jack's Munchie Meal. You get the double cheeseburger, and then okay. You get two double tacos. So you get a cheeseburger, four tacos, and that's about $9.50, guys. Jack in the Box is the place to be. I am a huge fan, and I go there a lot when I work overnight.
I love it, man. Hey, with 15 locations, they're open 24/7 here in El Paso and in Las Cruces. Big shout out to Jack in the Box, the perfect spot before and after every game. I might be going after this game. So let's talk about it. It's the big one here. Miners lose in big fashion, 40-7. I predicted 42-10, Zay. I was close. I'm going to pat myself on the back just a little bit. I took the under on total points. I did not believe in anything on the total points side for UTEP football. And this is just me. I came up with 13.5 for I don't know what reason, man. I don't know why I came up with 13.5, but that was the mark I put them on, and I didn't. They didn't hit that mark, man. I was disappointed the fact that they couldn't score more points. There were some bright moments today. I get it. It is Big Ten Nebraska, but at one point, I think everybody who's a UTEP fan, everybody who covers this team as a media member, they were wondering, what if UTEP did the impossible and actually shocked the world and upset Nebraska here? And you know what? It was a tie game, 7-7 at one point. People were real interested if UTEP could mount a victory. But no, Nebraska is just too good of a team. They would not let this happen.
Yeah, you know, honestly, you know, we were all there, right? Cam Thomas catches that big-time touchdown, and I'm thinking in my head, it's not impossible. And it's not impossible, and I think UTEP gets a stop after that, and I'm thinking, hey, this can happen, but, I mean, Nebraska's just bigger, faster, stronger, so, you know, not going to take too much away from this one, but there are some things that stuck out to me that, you know, definitely want to see get fixed.
I want to see a lot of things get fixed on this team. And by the way, third member of Minor Talk, Sal Montes, will be joining us soon. We're so excited to always have Sal join us. He's finishing up the post-game show. You know, the other thing about that, too, guys, we just heard from Sal Montes that they've taken a while. The game was over about 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. And Zay, they still haven't heard from head coach Scotty Walden. Maybe they've heard from him right now, but he's taking his time with the team in the locker room, really wanting to talk with them and break things down with the group.
Yeah, I mean, after a loss like this, first game ever, you know, I'm wondering what he could be saying. I'm wondering what he said pregame. You know, I'm wondering, you know, how Scotty motivates his players and how, you know, how are they going to deal with adversity? And this is adversity. When you lose by this much, first game ever, this is adversity. So we're already seeing, you know, how, you know, the Scotty Walden-led team is going to face stuff like that.
You know, we're really back for UTEP football when we've got Twitter arguments in our mentions. Dude, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm, like, trying to read some tweets that are coming our way. No. It's Joe Chacone, UTEP Minetto, and Pinky who are fighting in our mentions right now. We can't even have a talk about this game or even get some fans' takeaways right now because of all this, drama, I should say. But let's peel this one back. Let's start from the top, and let's go off and what happened here in the first half. Let's just kind of go in chronological order. To start out of the gate, Nebraska put together a 12-play, 72-yard touchdown drive. That one was, they marched down the field. They showed UTEP what they could do. And they went all the way downfield, scored a touchdown. They were up 7-0 right away. UTEP goes 3-and-out right away on their side. No yards on that drive. Then Nebraska, they drive it all the way to the UTEP 37. I think they wanted to make a statement there, guys. It was a fourth down play. They end up turning it over on downs. A big credit to Corey Chapman. Back-to-back plays. He came up big on defense for the Miners there. He had a key stop on third down, which set up a fourth down decision for Nebraska. They went for it, and they didn't get it. So for this UTEP team, being able to stop them inside their own territory, I thought that was really strong. Credit Corey Chapman, man. He played a great game here, Zay. He finished off with 10 tackles. Dorian Hopkins finished off with 16 total tackles. But, talking about one of the UTEP spur players, which is kind of like that hybrid nickel position, big shout-out to Corey Chapman for those stops.
Yeah, I mean, he was everywhere around the field, and it was satisfying to watch. There was a lot of kind of swing passes, little dink and dive passes, in the flats, and I would just see Corey Chapman gets the ball so quick. His pursuit is unmatched, and he's going to be a problem. He's going to be a problem for Conference USA offenses.
So then UTEP gets the ball on the next possession. Alberto, I blinked and they scored. It was Skylar Locklear hooking up with Cam Thomas. Zay gets the win out of the first touchdown score. I can't believe one of us actually got it right. But Alberto, that drive lasted 3 plays, less than a minute. A 63-yard drive, swift for the Miners, scoring that touchdown.
Yeah, they were definitely fast, and that's kind of what they promised us, right, at the beginning of the season, and there they definitely delivered, and that got everyone really excited, right? If you go to Twitter or X, and you're going to see a lot of people comment about, oh, well, for that one quarter, we were everything we wanted to be, and I think it's still really early to make comments like that. I think that this Nebraska team that UTEP played is extremely oversized compared to the UTEP team, and that played a big card in the effect of the game in the third and fourth quarter, and I think that's why we saw it kind of slip out in their hands in those quarters.
So, okay, well, let's peel it back, because this drive, we're just starting on this drive right here. That one went fast. That drive was a quick drive right there for UTEP scoring it. And I got to give a lot of credit to quarterback Skylar Locklear on that pass. I mean, it was a beautiful throw. I don't know, I tried to go back and really look at all the throws that he had out there. I tried to really dissect Cade McConnell's throws as well, which we'll get to in here in just a second. I think fans are really wondering, well, do we learn anything? Do we have a quarterback right now? Is there a quarterback that you can look at for the rest of the season that you could rely on? My short answer is no, and I'll give you my longer answer later. But Skylar Locklear, he was really, he started off the game 5 for 5, and that fourth completion was to Cam Thomas on that 38-yard touchdown. Right before that, he hit Trey Goodman on a 12-yard outplay that I thought was really nice too. So the Miners were able to get that touchdown at that point in the game. And again, for this UTEP team, having that 38-yard touchdown catapulted them. It gave a lot of Miner fans hope, Zay, that they would actually, hey, maybe stand or fare well in this matchup right here.
Yeah, I mean, it was such a quick drive. I mean, I was trying to make food, and I couldn't even make the food because every, I would blink, and they're already another play in. So it was just, it was nice to see that at least for one drive, we got what we were promised. It's a quick, fast-paced offense that's going to take the shots. It's going to be explosive. And Locklear looked good for a good chunk of that a good chunk of the first quarter. Going to the second quarter, it's a completely different story. But for that first quarter, he didn't look rattled. He looked calm and collected, and that's nice to see.
Going back to the Cornhuskers, they get the ball after turning the ball over on downs, after allowing that quick touchdown by the Miners, and they go 3-and-out. So then UTEP fans are thinking, wow, this team can actually maybe do it. Nebraska ends up punting it. It was a great punt, and I think this was really one of the key turning points right here. It was a great punt all the way to the UTEP 3-yard line. Terrible play, and Zay, you go through it. It was a soft mesh RPO. It just took too long to develop that play. It was a 1st-and-10 play, shotgun formation, backed up in your own end zone, and you're just taking too long to get that play developed. developed, and it's a safety. Nebraska forces the safety right there. They go up 9-7, and momentum swings back Nebraska's way after that play.
Yeah, I think wasn't there – there was a fumble, right? I think it was the fumble that put them down there.
You're right. No. You're exactly right on that. Nebraska ends up after this one. I said a punt, but they drove all the way to inside the UTEP 40-yard line. They actually go all the way to the red zone, and then the very next play, it was a run play strip, and then it was that turnover right there. Credit in this one right here. I'm looking at it right here. I think it was Dorian Hopkins who fell on it, and it was Landon Hullaby who forced that fumble. Thanks for correcting me there, Zay. But that was a big one right there, because UTEP, they did not force the punt on that one. On the flip side, it was a fumble, and the Miners picked up the ball at the 3-yard line. That's where they started it right there, and I think that's where everything swung. I mean, going back to that play, it was a RPO play that just didn't develop fast enough. Javon Jackson stuffed in the backfield, and a safety as a result.
Yeah, that play call was – it was really frustrating to me. If you're going to call something like that, like the play-by said – I mean, the color said, right? It's a slow developing, it's a slow mesh RPO, and you're doing that in your end zone, right? When the whole game, at least up to that point, I mean, Nebraska was already dominating the offensive line. They were getting behind the line of scrimmage really quickly. So, you know, it confused me. It was a very risky play, and it obviously did not work out well. UTEP gets that – Nebraska tackles, I think it was Javon Jackson in the end zone, and you know, all your momentum just like that, it's quickly erased, and UTEP never got it back.
Yeah, I'm with you. Going back to the safety, as we just kind of outlined, it was really the turning point of this game, because the safety rattled, I think, UTEP a little bit. Cade McConnell goes in on the next series, and you know, we're going to sound like we're just defenders of Cade in this scenario right here, because he interned here, because he's a friend of the program and stuff like that. But I gave a lot of credit there to Skylar Locklear. I mean, that nice pass that he had for that touchdown was promising. I think they just switched to Cade at this point. People thought, oh, they just benched Skylar Locklear. No. If you followed UTEP's reporting, if you followed Scotty Walden, what he said to start off the season, or start off the year, excuse me, in the weekly press conference this season, or this past week, he was talking about how he wanted to play both quarterbacks. I mean, it was going to be both Skylar and Cade getting some action in this matchup right here. So the fact that Cade goes in, it wasn't to bench Skylar. Let's just clear the air right there. And then Cade puts together a drive where he's kind of moving the ball a little bit. They go 30 yards, and then a slant play. The intended receiver was Ashton Nickelberry. He stops on the route, and it's an easy interception. I talked to people out at the District West where we were having our Minor Talk watch party, and people were like, oh, he shouldn't have thrown that. It was right there. And then he gets an earful on the sideline, and I understand. I mean, you can't make a mistake like that when you're driving the ball and you cross the opponent's 50. I understand that. You got to be better about the decision making. But at the same time, throw some of the blame on the receiver there for just stopping on the route, Zay. That's just my thought. Did you see that, the same thing I did, or did you see something different?
I definitely saw him stop on the route, but I think the biggest issue I had with, you know, everything with Cade and Skylar, that whole debacle, is, you know, they put in Cade at such a awkward time. It was an awkward time. It felt like he wasn't set up for success. It threw off the rhythm, because outside of the safety, Locklear had that offense going. He had it going. I feel like there was a better time that you could have inserted Cade into the game that would have both set Cade up for success and the team up for success. I don't think that was a good time. I feel like it threw the rhythm off, and maybe that's why, you know, the receiver stops his route. Maybe they just weren't in rhythm. It didn't feel it complete, you know?
That's a good way of looking at it. Alberto, I'll bring you in on this too, because I thought that was a really good way of kind of assessing the situation. I didn't think of it that way, but I see with Cade, you're saying more situational, that you didn't like the fact that he was thrown in right there. Alberto, we got a question that came in on Twitter and X. What happened if Cade McConnell didn't go in after the safety? Do you think things would have been different for the Miners if Skylar Locklear just rolled it out after that drive? UTEP's down 9-7. Do you think Locklear could have put together another touchdown drive after that, or what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's, in my opinion, look, the safety killed the momentum that UTEP had on offense. So to me, in my opinion, it does make sense to put Cade in there and see what he has. But unfortunately, we can't play the what-if game with Skylar Locklear, and had he not exited that game, I don't know. I don't think we would have won, that's for sure, right? Had Cade kept Skylar kept playing, I'm not saying we would have won. We would have just seen Cade a little later, and that would have kind of changed the outcome of the game. I don't think in a major way we still see a large defeat here by UTEP, in my opinion. But I think the idea makes sense to me, right? They back you all the way up. They score a safety on you. You're not able to get anything going on offense. Let's get your other guy out there and see what he can do. What I'll kind of play off of what Zay said, though, is I'll kind of remind you guys, neither one of these guys, neither Cade or Skylar, have all the reps or a majority of the first team reps with any of these guys, right? So maybe their familiarity with one another isn't as high as you might want it to be.
Okay, let's go to Twitter next. We've got a couple different posts coming in off of this right here. Chad McLean said this one right here: we shouldn't be down by this much. This was when the Miners were down, I think, 16-7 or 23-7. A few bad plays and a few good plays were made. Defense a little tired. Offense needs to do more to help the defense out. This came in from Trey Pulitz. Number 9 is our starter. McConnell is not better. I'm sorry, Miner fans. This is from Miner in Wisconsin. Preventing that last Nebraska touchdown was crucial. Our team was not good enough yet to take on a good Nebraska team. Oh well, there's always next week. Tristan Pence, by the way, big shout out to the Pence family who joined us out there out at the district. Love seeing them. Not a good second quarter. Nebraska's O-line dominated the half. When Coach Walden made the quarterback change, it was apparent that the Miner coaches are using this game to evaluate their team. Let's hope the Miners can make it respectable in the second half. This coming in from Pinky from earlier in the game. Actually, let's go to Joe Chacone. This one was him. Every year we have players that we know would produce or manage something. Is it me or do we not have those familiar impact players that we could rely on? It's way too early to tell, man. Way too early to tell, Joe Chacone, about like impact players or any of that kind of stuff. I think what you could take away from this one is we still don't know. There's still a lot of uncertainty all across the board. There's uncertainty on who's going to be the quarterback next week. Who's, you know, does coach just look at Cade McConnell after that interception and think, man, I'm worried. I think that's a liability right there. I'm worried that he's going to throw more of these interceptions. Or does he look at this and say, I still don't know as far as my quarterback competition. I want to extend this to the next game. Coach Walden said earlier in his press conference this past week that he would look at having maybe two different quarterbacks battle it out through the first three games. Zay, do you think they're going to get answers this week? Do you think what do you kind of foresee their solution will be here this week?
Yeah, I think hopefully for both UTEP and the fans that we do get answers, that we have at least somebody for that Southern Utah game that, you know, you can say, hey, this is going to be our quarterback. But, you know, the truth is probably won't. Probably going to go through this whole debacle again as to who's going to start, who's going to play most of the game. And it just really goes back to this. In the offseason, you know, I'm still kind of salty about it. I wish UTEP would have gone, even if it was a JUCO guy, somebody, another quarterback to come in and have it a three-way competition. I just feel like there's a lot of inexperience. And I know Cade started 6 games last year, but, you know, combined between them, it's only 6 FBS games started between Skylar and Cade. It's not a lot, and I just would have liked to see them go after maybe a proven veteran guy in the portal or in JUCO.
I'll also say this, as far as the quarterback competition, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, if just at the bottom line, at the end of the day, the coaching staff just says Locklear is more of what we look for to run our offense. Does that make sense? Like, they can't run that offense around Cade, just knowing his, and credit to Cade. Cade had a couple runs today where I was thinking, man, he lived up to what he had told us, that he's got the wheels. He had 2 rushes for 12 yards. That was, I mean, hey, he just got a chance to do it twice, but in the limited times that he did, we got to see what he could do. Skylar Locklear is fast, though. I mean, let's not sugarcoat him. He had 4 four rushes for 20 yards. He had a sack today as well, but yeah, he had a rush for 11 yards for a first down on a third and 11 play. I mean, I thought Skyler played a pretty nice game, all things considered. Now, as far as throwing the ball, I don't know if he gave UTEP enough of what he needed. As far as does UTEP have the right quarterbacks moving forward in order to win? I don't know the answer yet. And should they have gotten somebody in the transfer portal throughout the offseason? Maybe you could have made that argument. But at the same time, would they have landed a guy like Shea Smith, who they have a lot of hope for in the future, if they had got or if they brought somebody in through the transfer portal? I don't know the answer to that right there. And I would think that you know, they probably thought that Skylar Locklear would have been the guy here to be QB1. And I think the competition was a little closer. That's why those reps were evenly distributed, and I think that's why we have so much uncertainty and still a lot of question marks on this team. I think you're going to get a lot of opinions, varying opinions. I think people are going to say, no, you don't get it. Skylar Locklear is QB1. He should be the quarterback. Did you see that touchdown pass? And I would say, yeah, I did. But did you see, you know, he went 11 for 17. Some of those other throws weren't on target. And some of the other passes that he had were on target. So he's kind of like this guy who gives you a little bit of both. He kind of gives you a little bit of excitement and flash, but then a little bit of that experience shows sometimes, Zay. And you saw that by a lot of the penalties that happened. There were a lot of false starts. You know, they had some miscues offensively with things like that. And maybe it starts up front on the offensive line. But, you know, sometimes it is your quarterback, and sometimes it is the crowd, too.
Yeah, he looked a little rattled in some of these, you know, and especially in situations where he's the one having to make that decision, where he's the one having to see whether he wants to give it to the running back, whether he wants to pass it, where he wants to keep it himself. And you can kind of see he looks a little rattled. He doesn't look comfortable in those situations. And in a matter of seconds, you have these big 6'5", 300-pound linemen bearing down on you or your running back, and it just didn't look right on some of those plays. Now, granted, some of those plays did look right, and it looked like he belonged in that system. So I just want to see a more clear answer, a more clear, you know, something against Southern Utah.
Cade McConnell had 7 pass attempts. Skylar Locklear had 17 pass attempts. So they favored Locklear in this game, even though they gave Cade McConnell a chance on 2 drives to see what he could do. They gave him a late chance in the fourth quarter, Zay, but on those, it was the first play call was an incomplete pass, and then they ran it 2 times to Corey Wren. So I think they were trying to see more of what they had with Wren than what they had in McConnell at that point in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of frustrating. I wish they went about it a different way. That way we could have – it's selfish of me. I'm talking about we as a fan. That way we could have had a more, you know, clear view of this quarterback situation. But I still look back at it, and I think it's still maybe – I'm not going to say 50-50 because, you know, the way that they went about it, Skylar had more reps and everything. I'd say at this point it's probably 60-40 as to who is QB1.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Hey, let's keep it going on Twitter and X. David Castro, did you see this one, Alberto? The inflated Pater Pete lit up, and then the deflated Pater Pete. He said how it started versus how it ended. What'd you think of that one?
Yeah, that was hilarious. I think that reflects a lot of UTEP Miner fans. And look, when we were at the district, we were out there, and props to everyone who joined us. And when the Miners scored that touchdown, they blew the roof off of that place. So everyone got super excited. Unfortunately, it's just not a sustained effort from the Miners, so it was a little bit disappointing towards the end there. But I think that, look, the Miners showed flashes of a lot of things they promised, and now it's time to move on to Southern Utah.
Okay, now let's talk. If you were Scotty Walden and you were the head coach right here, this is the question coming in from Andrew at Andrew3 West Texas. Big shout out to him. He was out at the district today as well. He says, does Skylar Locklear get named QB1 this week? What do you guys think? Zay, go. You go first.
Yes, I think he does.
Alberto?
Yeah, me too. He scored your touchdown.
Yeah, I think he does. I think you just kind of roll with it again. You kind of say maybe you chalk it up to he won this one, and they're going to roll with him again next week with the understanding that maybe they do explore a 2-quarterback system if given the opportunity. If they don't, if they go with 1 quarterback that entire time, would you be surprised, Zay, against Southern Utah? If they ran with Skylar Locklear from start in that first quarter to the end of that game, would you be surprised?
I wouldn't be surprised, because for me, I think the biggest thing is roll with it until it doesn't work. And, you know, if it's working, then don't mess up the rhythm. Don't do all that. And, you know, I want to give Cade a fair shot. But if, you know, the Miners are rolling, that offense looks good, that is not the time to kind of switch out, at least in my opinion.
What about you, Alberto? Let's say this is a close game against Southern Utah. I believe it will be. Do you roll with Locklear the entire game?
Yeah, if he doesn't commit any drastic mistakes that kind of, you know, put the game in jeopardy and he starts making moves like that, if he plays like he did today, yeah, I would keep him in there. Look, the season's long and the Miners play a lot of difficult opponents, so there'll be, in my opinion, a lot of other opportunities for guys to get in there.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Hey, again, we are presented by Jack in the Box here on Miner Talk. Appreciate everybody tuning in here on the program. We're going to have a really cool deal with Jack in the Box coming out throughout this entire season. And with Jack in the Box, by the way, 13 locations, El Paso and Las Cruces, 24/7. So every day of the week, 7 days a week, it's open 24 hours. That's Jack in the Box, the perfect spot before and after every game. We're going to be giving away some Jack in the Box gift cards all season long. People get a chance to nominate their favorite play from the game, and we will pick a winner. We had a lot of people chiming in on the actual big throw that Skylar Locklear had, that touchdown pass that he had, and that was one of those throws that I think a lot of Miner fans were really excited about. Before we put to bed the conversation about quarterbacks, and before we throw, and jump into another topic right now, I definitely want to continue to extend this conversation about Cade McConnell and Skylar Locklear. Let's go with a couple other points on Cade and Skylar. Let's go to Tristan Pence. Give Nebraska credit. They dominated the game up front. Their O-line and D-line outclassed UTEP's. The Miners do have some explosive skill players, and if they can clean up things, especially on offense, the Miners will be a tough team to beat in Conference USA. Tristan continued by saying this, quote, number two, I think Skylar is the clear starter at quarterback. Many of the Miners' best players don't get many opportunities to show what they can do because Nebraska dominated time of possession. I think we will have a better idea of what type of team this will be over the next 3 weeks. And then Tristan finishes it up by saying, great to have Miner Talk back, and it was great seeing you guys out at the district. It was great seeing you and your family, Tristan. Thanks so much for tuning in and always supporting us. Really appreciate you, man. To his second point, I think this is pretty interesting, guys. Did we just forget that Nebraska consumed this game? They're almost 40 minutes of time of possession for the Cornhuskers. It felt like every time the Miners got the ball back, you just forgot who even played on offense for UTEP.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the issue. I think UTEP is going to run into that issue a lot this year because that's Scotty Walden. They go quick offensively. They're like you said, I think it was three plays in 30 seconds on that
yes.
touchdown drive. So you're going to see that lopsided time of possession. And I don't think every game is going to be like this game necessarily, where Nebraska just dominates and your defense is, you know, almost drop dead, you know, out of breath every time. But you're going to see, you know, a lopsided time of possession, especially, you know, deep into, you know, Conference USA play.
King Eric 17. He tweets into the program, Skylar should be the starter going forward. With him at quarterback, I feel like the offense will thrive so much better. And I feel like he's just the more natural quarterback. Alberto, do you agree with that natural quarterback line?
Man, that's a really difficult one to
what's a
to
natural
assess.
Quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know, because there's so many different styles and so
right.
many different types of styles of play. So that's hard, especially when...
I don't agree with this one, King Eric.
You really got to think about is this offense is also a little bit better suited to the attributes that Skylar has, right? And that's why he got recruited into the system. That's why he's brought to UTEP. I'm not saying Cade can't do the things Skylar does. I'm just saying that Skylar was brought into the system because he has attributes that excel in the system. So I think that's playing out. So I'm just excited to see how they move forward, obviously, from this point, because the season has just started and so has the adversity, so it's going to be a long season. It's kind of early to be fighting about things like this, in my opinion.
You know, I'd also say this one right here, when it comes to this team, a natural quarterback, I mean, Cade's more of the natural quarterback, quote-unquote, right? I mean, Skylar, in all of the interesting things that he does at the quarterback position, whether it's being mobile, whether it's kind of that sidearm throw that he has, or like you saw in that touchdown pass to Cam Thomas, the arm and the cannon that he could display in a real way, I think that's one of the things that you can just see right there. He's not a natural quarterback. He's everything but – he's like a not normal quarterback, and I think that's what makes me excited about what the upside of Skyler could be, is the fact that he has so many different attributes to him.
I think we did watch natural quarterback out there today, but he was just on the other team. It was Dylan Raiola.
Ooh.
That's a natural quarterback, okay? There, you know, UTEP doesn't have a natural quarterback. I don't even know what it – like, there's no definition for a natural quarterback. You know,
What's your definition of a natural quarterback?
My definition of a natural quarterback is an NFL MVP, is a Patrick Mahomes, and you're not going to see much of those in college. So if you want to talk about natural quarterback, then I do think Cade McConnell, he kind of fits that bill. If, you know, if he was maxed out potential, he'd be more of that natural quarterback who's going to sit in the pocket, evaluate his throws, get it to the right guy. I think Skyler Locklear is more of an improviser, right? He'll get out of the pocket. He'll scramble with the ball. So, yeah, I don't agree with that natural quarterback comment.
Okay, we're gonna talk quarterback ad nauseum this week on every show, on Sports Talk, on the Republic of Football podcast, on this show right here with Sal, as he's gonna join us here soon enough after the man, this post game show, I thought that the bumper at 6 p.m. was a stretch right there, but man, this post game show has gone a while right there. So I wonder if Scotty Walden ended up joining the team out there, the broadcast team, or if he ended up staying with the group, and I'm talking about UTEP's roster, just to talk with them a little bit longer in the locker room. I wonder what happened. So I'm anxious to hear from Sal. I want to hear what Coach Walden said and everything. But let's talk some other storylines for now. And by the way, before we do that, I want to give a big shout out to Chris out at Inspo Lens. We are currently live on Inspo Lens, on Facebook Live, on YouTube Live as well. So this is so cool. This is a new segment, a new thing that we're going to bring to Minor Talk this entire year. We're so excited about this partnership right here. And today it's like the soft launch, but like a hard launch, because now, because of Mother Nature and because of the El Paso Chihuahuas, people weren't able to listen in or call in with their thoughts as usual, so we're having to do this one on a podcast live feed type of program or forum, I should say, and we cannot thank Chris enough for all the help here. And check out Inspo Lens online, InspoLens.com. By the way, they've got a great Facebook, Instagram, Twitter feed as well. You could subscribe and see positive storytelling all on Inspo Lens for just $5.99 a month. It's online at InspoLens.com. Big shout out to Chris. And we've got this one going on right now on our YouTube, Facebook as well. Those platforms where you could watch and tune in to us here on Minor Talk. And stay tuned. We're going to be doing a lot of really cool stuff with this right here. We're so excited about this one. He even had an intro for us. He had awesome things when it comes to ideas and this setup. I mean, we're right now in our 600 ESPN El Paso studios, but I feel like we're in like the KTSM or our news partners KVIA studios right now, which is so cool. So big shout out to you, Chris. Thank you so much for hanging around and doing this great job here for us today. And I appreciate our listeners and our followers that are chiming in and tuning in on Facebook and YouTube. Let's keep it moving right now as we roll through this one. Let's go back to Twitter and X. This is coming in from our very own Yin Yang Samurai. And I say our very own because he's a friend of the program. But he sends us the UTEP Bud Light can. Alberto, have you drank a UTEP Bud Light can yet?
I have not. I have not gotten my hands on the UTEP
neither,
Bud Light
man.
Cans. Don't they only sell them in like 30 racks?
I think so, and I'm not a Bud Light guy.
And
so
I'm not a 30 rack guy either.
Okay.
So
yeah, fair enough. Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. This is coming in from JT. Best of luck to UTEP fans. You are in good hands. Oh man, there's a lot of hey Zay. You're the Twitter guy among us all. What are your thoughts on all this? What do we even call it? Beef between UTEP fans and Nebraska fans over this past week?
You know. I'm more focused on Sam Houston beef. It's like 20 times more entertaining. This Nebraska beef, it's going to die out next week. You know, you're going to have Nebraska fans saying, you guys did so good. Like, we're actually fans of you now. Versus Sam Houston, I mean, they're going to keep talking on Twitter. And I'm more invested in that beef. So
Okay. I like the beef. I like what you're saying right there. Let's move over to this one right here. This is Pooh Bear. Don't give up. Next week, that Pater Pete inflatable miner needs to be propped back up. Hashtag go miners. Hashtag picks up. This is coming in from ShoeFan12. Not a horrible start. Hopefully the miners offense can get it together as the season goes along. I see a lot of potential on this team, and I love the coach's energy. Looking forward to the season. That's coming in from ShoeFan12. Big shout out to you, ShoeFan. Thanks for tuning in and checking in with us here on Miner Talk as we continue here. I'm used to saying our phone number during our transitions, guys, and like during our little breaks. I'm also used to taking a break, so I'm hoping that that Sal Montes can join us here in a little bit. But before Sal joins us, let's talk some other storylines in this matchup right here, and let's just ping around. Let's start off with that Nebraska run offense. Man, I thought the balance that Nebraska put together, Zay, was pretty strong, but when you really look at the numbers, that 223 on the ground, the efficiency they had, Emre Johnson did anything he wanted on the ground, almost or averaged 9 yards a carry. He had 8 rushes for 71 yards today, no touchdowns in this one, but he was efficient. Dante Dowdle, 8 carries, 55 yards, a touchdown tonight, and averaged almost 7 yards a carry. Man, Nebraska, they did anything they wanted on the ground against UTEP.
Yeah, I felt like at times, I think throughout this whole game, there really wasn't a time where Nebraska was kind of sweating, where they were kind of struggling. They kind of did whatever they wanted offensively. I felt like if they wanted to really ramp it up on the air, they could have done that. I feel like they could have picked apart UTEP's secondary much easier, but, you know, it was frustrating to watch, but it was kind of expected. Nebraska's going to be a much improved team, so yeah.
Another stat that jumps off to me, man, this is a staggering one right here. Total plays. I like to look at total plays a lot. It's the basketball fan in me who loves to watch shot attempts. Total plays, Nebraska 83 to UTEP's 50s, eh? There you go. There's the time of possession. There's the game right there. They run 33 more plays than UTEP.
Yeah, and a lot of that, you know, it's going to be because UTEP couldn't convert. They were a lot of
third down. Yeah.
And you look at that third down, that's kind of the one that stood out the most to me. Nebraska goes 11 for 17 on third down. I mean, that was frustrating to watch at times, especially early in the game when UTEP, you know, when it looked like UTEP had a shot to make this a game. They were struggling to stop Nebraska on third down, and it was, you know, even one of them was 3rd and 11 early in the game, and you know, have a wide open receiver over the middle. It was really frustrating to watch. So yeah.
I know which one you're talking about. Yep, Sal, those headphones don't work, but don't worry, you're not a headphones guy anyways.
That's all right.
Yeah,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear. You sound great. Sal Montes is in the building. Thank goodness. Oh my goodness, the post game show is over.
It's over. Yes.
What happened? Tell us everything.
So basically, these are all the notes that I got.
Oh,
right,
that's
here.
A lot of
so
notes.
It's a lot to break down.
Okay, okay.
We'll do it in segments, but
okay, let me tee you up.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Sal Montes, co-host of Miner Talk. He is here with us right now. He's got stats in front of him. He worked the game producing the show for Voice of the Miners, Sean Teicher, along with the whole team. Our partner station, 95.5 KLAQ, had it for this one. Scotty Walden, head coach for the Miners. It took a while to join the broadcast. We were just kind of speculating here on the live podcast that he was taking his time talking to the team in the locker room. Sal, are we on this? Are we kind of in the right ballpark here?
So kind of. I believe, I don't know the order, so to speak, but I think it was the team and then the TV crew. Maybe vice versa, I don't know, but part of it was the TV crew.
Okay, yeah. That's fair enough. So there's just a lot going on. I mean, hey, you could think about just how long this game was, guys.
Yeah.
I mean, national TV games. Alberto, could we get UTEP off these? I mean, I know we're talking about giving this athletics program more exposure, but man, the nationally televised games just last forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, those commercials are relentless, and you know what? Fans start to get frustrated, too, when the teams start calling timeouts there late, right? That's really frustrating, especially when the game is so far out of reach for the Miners, and either UTEP or Nebraska's calling timeouts in that fourth quarter. You're like, oh, for the love of God, let this be over. But, it was a hard day out there today, Nebraska.
Sal, it's unfair to asking you. I was like, oh, just summarize the post game and that kind of thought. But then it hit me. I was like, wait a second. I know the Scotty Walden interviews. I know the press conferences. You get so much. He reveals so much to you. What were your thoughts? Just give me initially, like, did he take positives from this one or was he upset?
There were some positives. He said there were some flashes. Obviously the touchdown drive was huge. There was a pair of defensive
stops
in the first half. And there was one in the second half as well that they had. So he said he feels for the defense because they were out there for a large majority of the game. I think it was like 83 plays for Nebraska.
Wow. You got it exactly right.
Right along the lines of that. But that's one thing he also said from what he saw and the way that they prepared, which I got another answer, which kind of sounds contradictory. But he says that the way that they prepared and the way that they looked, rather, I should say, on their Thursday, I think it's like sweat. Run. So he doesn't call it practice, obviously, but a Thursday gathering with his team, so to speak, that he felt that they were ready, they were good to go. But just kind of looking at it later on, he said that some of the vernacular that he used probably has to change. So I think he's putting it more on himself, like, hey, I wasn't ready. I did my best to get the team ready, but I wasn't ready. And he took a lot of accountability. Says there were a lot of missed opportunities and guys just not being in the right spot. So he'll evaluate that. Loves the effort, but he's going to look at film to to evaluate things. And another thing, too, guys, really quickly, he said for a large part of the game when they were on offense, they were just a block away. So, we'll see the adjustments that are made.
Okay, so I'm curious on that one to run it back on the film. The just a block away thought is interesting to me. Tell me the quarterback stuff. I'm trying not to like be so heavy on the QB because this is starting to get. I don't know. It's starting to get a little. It's starting to drag out a little too much for me. Like even just the narratives and stuff like that. But you tell me, what did he say about the quarterbacks? Because we said that the last time we're going to talk quarterbacks is with you.
So he says as far as the quarterback play, he said the decision making was solid at both positions. He said he wants the picks back, but he thought for the most part the decision making was solid, and he said they both had good command but not great. So I think that kind of says, hey, I'm not really set on a guy going forward yet. Obviously, it's still, you know, the first year under him with the new offense, so still some time to go. But how about Smith? He did talk about Smith.
Okay.
He said he's really blossoming, heck of a player, sees the pedigree, obviously, coming from the Smith family, and that he's wired the right way. Thought he was cool, calm, and collected. So obviously the sample size was really small before a true freshman out there in Big Ten country. I mean, you saw me run into the studio. I don't know if you got it, like, behind the scenes, but I was like, Smith completion, and I had to run back. But I got to be honest, Adrian didn't really give much other than that.
Okay, that's fair. I think that's probably it. Now, preparation on Southern Utah, that's what UTEP is looking at next week. We'll save that for the end of our podcast here on the show today. But Sal, you give me your thoughts, because we've talked at nauseam and talked at length about the quarterbacks. We had different opinions on like what they should do as far as should they name a starter? Does Skyler automatically get the starting job just because he had the touchdown drive? Where are you at right now? Personally, with the quarterbacks,
I wouldn't base it off of results. And the reason I let me say this, I wouldn't base it off of the results of today's game. I think that's what I made better. And the reason why I say that is it's a game against Nebraska at their house. I think for a game like this, you're going to get up and hate to sound cliche, but you're going to do your best. This is a game that you got to get up for, and when the dust kind of settles, you know, the smoke clears and you're midway through conference play, that's when you kind of know the team that you have. So obviously don't wait too long, right? But fortunately they do start a conference game before they finish all of their non-conference. So probably early, let's say first quarter of the conference, I think we'll know for sure, because the sample size will be much larger against opponents who are equal your counterpart or just a couple notches above.
It should be interesting because I you and I are kind of in the same boat as that. I just don't know if we know yet. Yeah. I just think that we're still kind of going through uncertainty. And I'm curious to see how this week goes for what the discourse is, what his thoughts are after evaluating film. I think he was, based on your responses right there, Sal, he puts a lot of the blame on him. And I think that might be his style. You know, when they lose, he's just going to say, hey, blame me. And then he'll go back, assess film. And then you'll hear a clear picture on what his thoughts were on who was good and who maybe struggled in this game. So could be interesting.
And something to note too, right? Good or bad, or I should say, I don't want to mix it up. I don't want to say good or bad there, but he's going to take accountability whenever things are going to go bad. And then if it turns out that, hey, we actually were in the wrong, we missed a block here. And what I'm referring to is kind of the being upset with the officials, which is kind of interesting. I clipped it. He mentioned something about how he was disappointed with the officials in the second half. He's not sure what they were trying to do. As far as Nebraska goes, being aggressive, trying to pad the stats and going for it on fourth, that's why they won. It wasn't the officials. So if you're upset with the officials, but then it's not why you lost, you know what I mean? Kind of contradictory there. But he did say he told his defensive backs to play aggressive. And in the second half, he didn't want to let the wide receivers run free. He told him, I don't care if you get PI, be aggressive. So the accountability is right there. Like, hey, I was upset, but I told our guys to go out there. So he's going to check the film to see, like, hey, I'm owning up right now. Even if I'm wrong, I'm still going up to it. But was it actual PI or not?
Yeah, and I think those, you know, it's so interesting because A.J. Odoms got called on two different pass interference penalties, and I was like, this is so uncharacteristic of A.J. Odoms. I actually can't even remember A.J. Odoms ever having a pass interference penalty called on him ever, Zay, and he cuts two in the same drive.
Yeah, I mean, the guy literally practices with boxing gloves. That way he doesn't, you know, grab receivers in practice. So I was shocked.
Know that. That's great.
I was shocked too, but I saw a tweet, and it kind of makes more sense. It says, Scotty Walden is heated and just called a timeout to continue his spirited discussions with the officials after that last pass interference call. And I was like, wow. So I guess no lies told there with the whole pass interference debacle and the A.J. Odoms
debacle.
Very
true. So. Mm-hmm. So he's going to be so involved as a coach. I don't think UTEP's ever had this before, mm-hmm. ever, like in the history, and this is the first time that we've seen it. You're so involved in the game. You're controlling so much, and that's why the process is so important for this offense. And we're talking about so much with the offense, but the process of how they do things offensively is so important. Defensively, high risk, but high reward. They were able to force a turnover today, and that's an example right there of it, Zay.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't see this with Dana Dimel. We didn't see, you know, kind of... He basically told A.J. Odoms, like, hey, just do it. They're going to call you for it, but just do it. Just be physical. Be physical. And I like that. I like that out of a coach. I like that aggressiveness, kind of. And you need that aggressiveness when you're coaching at this level. You know, you're not going to get wins over big-time schools. And obviously, UTEP was nowhere close to beating Nebraska today. But deep down, you know, when games matter, you're not going to get those big-time wins over, I'd say, more talented schools, unless you're aggressive. And so high risk, high reward, like you said.
Alberto.
Look, I think the city wants a team that's a hard, physical hitting defense. So I think that it makes sense, you know, what Scotty Walden's doing and the approach he's taking to this. So I don't know. I expect the defense to kind of be a super physical and maybe not PI heavy, but they're going to look to hit people in the mouth and catch them off guard, especially early. So I'm not surprised.
I was just the one position group that I was disappointed in defensively is the D-line. I get it. Look, this is Nebraska. This is supposed to be a really strong offensive line. I get all of that. This is Big Ten country. This is on the road. This is the first game. All those things. I get it. But this was the D-line that brought back so much of, you know, production from last year. Sione Tonga'ua, Tavita Tafuna. You know, you just name it. It's all these guys that are on the defensive line. Katie Johnson, Devin Gorey, who was named a starter today, which was interesting in my eyes. But, you know, you go down the list, this D line is strong, but I just felt like when they needed to close in and they had opportunities, whether it was sacks or, you know, whether it was just adding more pressure to the quarterback or stuffing runs, I felt like it was tough. They were maybe a little bit more reactive, and I think on the film they'll understand how they could be a little bit more aggressive. And it makes you remember, guys, cannot take Tyrese Knight for granted. He just, Sal, he stuffed all those runs. Those runs that we saw where you just saw a little bit of a hole, he would close that gap right away last year. That's where you don't take him for granted.
Yeah, and he wasn't a true position player, so to speak, because he's an area player. Put him in that spot and he's pretty much going to lock you down. So that's what I loved about Tyrese Knight, and looking forward to seeing what he could do next Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. I can't believe you're saying that, but yeah.
All right, so Hawks versus Rams. Tyrese Knight gets the game-winning, game-sealing interception. Tyrese Knight jersey gets bought, or do you already have it on and underneath your Rams jersey? You take off the Rams jersey.
Ooh, I love both scenarios. I think I'll go with the second. I actually should get. Oh, I can't. I hate the Seahawks. I can't. I think out of all the group, all right. Not to get off topic, but for all the NFL group out there, Cowing's still my guy. Like, I got teased today by somebody, I think it was Paul Casadas or something like that on Twitter, who was like, I bet Jacob Cowing is there watching and rooting for the Miners at the district. And I was just laughing to myself, like, am I the Jacob Cowing? But I love Cowing, man. And I loved him when he was here at UTEP those 2 years. People don't realize it. We're all conference caliber seasons for Cowing. All right, now we're getting off topic here, guys. All right, let's bring it back. Let's bring it back here. Dorian Hopkins, speaking of linebackers, 16 total tackles for him. He led the Miners, 6 solo tackles, so he helps out with a ton of assists, 10 assisted tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He also had a fumble recovery. He was everything that is advertised, Zay. They were high on Dorian Hopkins. He ends up getting the start, and he delivers.
Did he get the start? I didn't think he got the start. I was a little frustrated that he didn't.
Was he along? I thought he was alongside the linebacker who got hurt
so,
right away.
I think it was Jalen Raymond. Yeah.
And that's right.
Did he? No, it was Trey Dunson who got the start.
Okay.
And I was frustrated because throughout this whole offseason, I mean, I really didn't hear anything about Dorian Hopkins. He was a 5-year player at Tulsa who was really productive, and I was kind of like, where is he at? Like, did he leave the team? Like, I was really high on this guy, and he comes in, and he was everywhere today. I'm really high on this guy. I think he can be a big-time, really productive player for UTEP, and I'm glad he got his opportunity today.
I also like Nate Diamond's performance. 5 tackles in this one at the linebacker spot. I thought he was hard-hitting. He really was a promising player throughout the offseason and stuff like that. So, yeah, I was a big fan of Nate Diamond today and his performance as far as linebackers go. Let's talk some other stats that just stood out to us, guys, and some other ones that were out there. Were you all bothered by 9 penalties for 76? 6 yards. Anybody bothered by that right there?
Oh, I was irked. I was irked in my house, and it was frustrating because I think it was 2 false start penalties on the first 3 plays of the game. That frustrated me. There was the penalty on the kickoff first play ever, and that really frustrated.
Offsides?
I mean, I was just like, I thought we escaped this. I thought this was done. You know, this is like in my nightmares. Oh, I just want to get away from it.
Alberto, what did you think
of
penalties? Do they bother you?
Yeah, a little bit, but look, Sal was saying how the coach wanted the team to be physical, especially after the second half, so it kind of makes sense that they were penalized as they were, and also they were violently undersized, so that kind of, in my opinion, it kind of plays into how you play the game and how the refs see the game and ref the game, so that kind of really played a part in my opinion, and it wasn't the penalties that killed the Miners, so, I mean, am I worried about that? A little bit, but that wasn't the reason they lost.
What about the timeouts, Sal? First half timeouts.
The first half timeouts? Not really. The reason why I wasn't is because, I mean, you're just used to it. Exactly.
You're used to
I'm
it.
I'm used to all of it, but if I could be honest about the penalties, I think the only one I was frustrated with, along with the false start, was a no call, actually, that hit on Cade McConnell going out of the sideline.
Yeah.
Coach was furious on that.
And punching
that,
his neck.
That was, like a 10 or 20-yard swing?
It was third and 11? They called offensive holding on Brennan Smith, the offensive lineman.
Exactly. And if, if it's called the right way, you know, maybe they get another chance at scoring, so to speak. But that's pretty much the only one that I was upset about that wound up being missed. But, no, he's right, man. Coach told the refs, hey, we're going to play fast. This is is who we are. This is who we are on offense. This is who we are on defense. We're going to be aggressive. So, I mean, you live and you die by it.
Yeah, I'm interested that that call wasn't made. The Cade McConnell goes, rushes, and scrambles off to the side, and then gets clotheslined. I mean, I thought he got punched in the neck. Yeah, like, and Cade, credit to Cade, he just goes right back up. And then I think it got him, because if you looked at him, he kind of goes down just a little bit, just slightly. That one, he'll feel that one tomorrow, Zay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm watching, like, he comes back up. He kind of eats the hit. And he, like, dropped the ball. He did, something happened. I think he did go down. He was, like, he had to kind of catch himself because he's like, kind of like, whoa. Like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, did that just happen?
I feel it now.
And no call?
Yeah, that no call was crazy. But, you know, back to the timeouts. Because I need to say something about the timeouts. I need, like, I almost turned the game off, man. I couldn't do it. I was like, this is like, I felt like I was in a nightmare. Like, it was the first quarter. We were already down two timeouts. I was like, what is going on, man? What is going on?
Wow. Yeah, the timeouts were very triggering as well. I agree.
PTSD.
Yeah, you definitely could say that for those right there. Only sack by the defense today, guys. It came by Sione Tonga'ua, which is interesting. I mean, Maurice Westmoreland, he had two quarterback hurries. I thought he was going to get one of those and close in on at least one of those.
Yeah.
But that kind of reminded me, you know, Maurice's game today reminded me of how Praise's first game was last year. Everybody's fixing on that guy. When you are the guy, quote unquote, as the pass rusher, as the premier guy, as a first team all conference player, the other team's gonna see that and be like, all right, we gotta focus on this guy. And they tried to take Maurice Westmoreland out of it as much as possible, Zay.
Yeah, I feel like you can go back 2 years with Praise. I mean, last season it was really, really apparent that teams were kind of closing in on him specifically, but I feel like 2 years ago, when Jadrian Taylor kind of had his breakout season, it was because a lot of the time, you know, Jadrian was one-on-one. You can't leave him one-on-one. That's why he ate so much, and that's why those two were so dominant together. But after, you know, the 2021 season, Praise Amehule, teams wanted to they schemed for him. They schemed for him to stop him. And you're going to see it a lot with Maurice Westmoreland this year. A lot of double teams. Just, you know, it's not going to be as productive. At least I don't think so.
Alberto, do you feel like, you know, they had an adequate pass rush today? Like, give me your thoughts on just the pass rush, period.
No, I think that really, really hurt the Miners today. Look, they weren't able to create any pressure on Raiola, and that really hurt him. He just did what he wanted, and he did kind of look like Mahomes out there. He had a bunch of different arm slots and did a bunch of nice things on the Miners, and that was frustrating. And then on the other side of the ball, they couldn't protect their quarterback, didn't give him enough time to throw the ball or get through his read. So it was extremely difficult. The game is won in the trenches, and when you can't dominate the trenches, when you can't create any pressure, and you give a guy like Dylan Raiola, who's, even though he's a true freshman, he's got a lot of great skills that can hurt you, when you give him all the time in the world like the Miners did, not able to create pressure with the four-man blitz that you have, then you're going to suffer as the Miners did.
Yeah, I see your point. I see your point completely. I think that the pass rush could have been a little bit better, too, and I think we'll clean some of that up. I feel like Maurice Westmoreland, not going to count him out at all. I would totally side on his, you know, his explosiveness, his ability to rush the passer, and I think he'll clean some of the stuff up in the coming weeks. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he progresses moving forward. Leo_MinerFan checking in. Picks up to you all for coming through for us. It's only one game against a formidable opponent under a new coach at a program like UTEP. Let's see how things unfold as the year/years progress. This coming in from Joe Chacon. I'm not going to shy away from my affliction for UTEP, born and raised in El Paso. I've seen the good and the bad. There is nothing but good going on there. I will always be the biggest fan, and I will always want the best. We can still get that this year at a time. Miners fans need to unite and come together and show this team we support them. Love the show. Love you guys. Hashtag repping from Colorado now. Hashtag Sal is my pal. Zay all the way. Adrian is my brotus. Alberchuco. There you go, Alberto. What do you think?
I finally got a nickname.
There you go. Joe
That's
Chacon.
Cool.
Right. Made it.
Yeah.
Herman Flores. Timmel would have lost 70-3.
True.
Maybe 70. Tennessee, do you remember that? I think it was year one or two. Tennessee ends up beating UTEP like 24-0. It ended up not being like that bad.
I mean,
I remember that.
Yeah. It was, yeah.
The second half at least just went like simulated. It was like it was just punt.
I mean, honestly, like maybe Dimmel, you know, at the end of the first half, it'd be 7-7, and then you know it'd blow up into 52-7 in the second half. I feel like that would have happened.
Okay, can we all like stop with all the like this is the first time of this, and like I just felt like when it was 7-7. People thought UTEP won a bowl game, or like I thought that the world stopped for a moment. I was like, "Wait a second, guys! Do you all forget that UTEP was tied against Northwestern last year? Like last year, less than a year
leading,
ago,
weren't they? It was 7-0.
They were leading. They were 7-0, and they actually had a lot of momentum in that first half. Second half, they get blown out 37-7 or 38-7. So I'm just thinking to myself, like, Miner fans have they do it to themselves, and they do it to themselves because they get excited, they get all this hope, and then you know you just set yourself up for this kind of failure that you already know. It was like the national championship.
Do you know why that is? It's because it reminds me of that commercial. I forgot what provider, or maybe it's a food commercial or an insurance commercial. He throws a fish around. He's like, gotta be quicker than that. Right? It's like you're right within the reach. And let me tell you why people felt the way they felt, because I'm speaking from experience. So here we go. UTEP forces a turnover on downs. They score three plays later. Then they force a punt.
Yes, and right? you think they're going to win at that. Everybody thinks they're going to win at that point.
Three plays later, at least they burn a minute and 27 seconds off the clock. They punt. However, what happens after that? They get the fumble, and then everything else after that, as we say,
when they get that
goes
fumble,
downhill.
When they get that fumble, I think everybody's thinking, wait a second. They actually go – they like.
I was like, I want Ohio State.
Team.
Who the hell is Nebraska? We going to Ohio State.
Man. Are you happy? Are you happy you got first touchdown ride, Zay? Cam Thomas.
Oh, my gosh, man. I mean – give me my money, man. Give me my money. Like, come on.
Gamble, yo.
Like, oh, man, I wish I was 21 because I would have put the whole paycheck. I would have put the whole house.
Like, I was Cam Thomas first
Cam
TD.
Thomas. I drafted him. I have a college football fantasy. I drafted him in, like, the fourth round. I was like, nobody can get this guy because I know for a fact. It was a feeling. I knew it was going to happen. What
you
can
know
I say?
What, though? That was a good pick, obviously, right? I forgot who I chose. I think I chose Judah Zenwa.
Yeah, who didn't play today.
I know, man.
He was hurt.
It's like you got to go big or go home.
Yeah,
so
go big or
go home.
No, you went with the big prop.
But with Thomas, though, the playmaking ability is there. He's extremely quick. He's elusive. And to see him on special teams as well, or defense, I'm sorry, to see him on defense is going to be huge because Coach Walden is trying to make plays on offense, defense, and obviously, you know, defense there, so to put your playmakers in position is going to be huge. And he said that a lot in his post game. He's like, I got to put guys in better spots. And I think one of the ones he got right was putting Cam Thomas out there pretty much all over the field.
Speaking of special teams, or like you said, Sal, defense, Adam Jacklin, 6 punts, 235, 39.2 for his average, along a 41. He's like hitting 38s pretty much consistently. I don't know. How do we feel about that, guys? Are we okay with this kind of stuff? Adam Jacklin, North Texas transfer, replacing Josh Sloan at the punting position.
I mean, compared to what I saw in the spring game, I mean, I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, I was like, wow, these aren't bad punts. He looks a lot more calm. There was not like a single time that I saw him get that snap or anything. I was worried it was going to get blocked or something. Mm-hmm. Granted, I don't think Nebraska sent the dogs any time, but it, you know, everything looked kind of clean, at least on the punt. Punt return, you know, on the defense, when you're going out to tackle, you know, the returner, there were some times I saw some creases. I was like, that's going to need to be fixed.
Okay, the big stat that UTEP loves to chart is quote-unquote big plays, okay? They love to do these. Like, who has the big plays? Who can give us the chunk plays? Because this is what they love to pride themselves in, okay? So I'm going to read you all their quote-unquote big plays. These are anything over 10 yards, okay? So number one is the touchdown, the Skylar Locklear 38-yard touchdown pass to Cam Thomas that we just mentioned. Number two, Skylar Locklear 21-yard pass to Jaden Smith. This was in the fourth quarter, okay? So this was pretty much garbage. garbage time at that point. Javon Jackson, 13-yard run. This was in the first quarter. Cade McConnell, 10-yard run. That was in the second quarter. In the third quarter, you had a Skylar Locklear, 11-yard run. That was on a third down, by the way. Really like that play for Skylar Locklear. And then a 12-yard gain by Javon Jackson. This was also in the third quarter. So for UTEP, only six big plays. Any thoughts on this right here as far as six big plays for the Miners here? Only. They pride themselves on being explosive on these big plays.
I was definitely hoping for some more big plays, you know, especially I was hoping for some more shots, maybe some more play action shots, but just the opportunities just weren't there. They weren't there this game, especially, you know, the run game was not, you know, you need the run game to be functioning to take those type of shots. So I'm not surprised that they only had six, but I am a little disappointed that they, you know, only had six.
Okay, Zay brought up the third down conversions, Alberto. I'm going to read you all their third down plays, okay? This is from the start. First quarter, false start on Brendan Smith, 5-yard penalty after that one. Skylar Locklear, complete short pass to Cam Thomas for 2 yards. Punt right after that, okay? Then, next time around, when they had a third down play, this was actually in the first quarter. It was a Skylar Locklear rush in the middle for 7 yards. It was a penalty for holding on UTEP. That was declined because he didn't get to the first down anyways, so UTEP ends up punting. Then, second quarter, Cade McConnell, his pass was incomplete to Kenny Odom. This was his first time that Cade McConnell was thrown into the mix with UTEP's offense. His intended target, Kenny Odom, that pass was broken up, ends up punting right after that. Then later in the second quarter, this was another third down play for UTEP. A McConnell pass that was intercepted. We talked about this one. Malcolm Hartzog, who ended up picking that one right there. That was in the second quarter. Then moving forward, third quarter, Skylar Locklear, he rushes for 11 yards. They get the first down on that one. That was on 3rd and 11. Then later in the 3rd quarter, Skylar Locklear, incomplete pass to Trey Goodman on a 3rd down and 9 situation. Moving forward, later in the 3rd quarter, Skylar Locklear, incomplete pass to Trey Goodman. Another 3rd down play in the 4th quarter, Skylar Locklear, pass complete to Jaden Smith. This was the 21-yard gain. This was a first down. Corey Wren, a middle rush in the 3rd quarter for really 5-yard loss. That was also a third down play. And then the final third down play that we have to chart here was a Shea Smith pass complete to Josh Dye, caught for 11 yards and a first down. Three third down completions, or conversions, I should say, excuse me, for the Miners out of 10 attempts, Alberto.
Yeah, that's horrible. 30% is not going to get you much in this day and age of college football. But also, I'm just more excited to see how they're going to do this against teams more their speed, right? It's kind of unfair to be like, to say that this is going to be the standard for the entire season. Mm-hmm. This Nebraska team is you could make an argument, might even finish the season ranked. So let's not just jump out on the Miners just yet. Did they have some horrible attempts on third down? Yeah, and you need to cut back on the mistakes. You need to be more disciplined on third down. What I hate to see on third down is a flag. All right, let them get the first down by just flat out beating you out. But when you commit a flag and you give them the first down for free, that's what stinks to me more.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, now the third down rush attempts, does that bother you, Zay? They rushed the ball 3 times out of those 10 attempts on third down. Does that bother you?
A little bit, just because, I mean, there was, like I said it before, but there was like virtually no run game, no continuity in the run game. Maybe you're going to get maybe 4 or 5 yards on one run, but the rest of them, they just look stuffed. I mean, that offensive line got dominated today, especially in the run game. I'm very disappointed in that position especially, but, you know, yeah, that just based on how the game was going, maybe in another game I wouldn't mind third down rush attempts, but in this game specifically, I didn't like it.
Sal, we talked a lot about what the distribution would be like today. There were 26 pass attempts to 24 rush attempts, almost 50-50, right down the middle, almost 50-50 for this UTEP team.
Yeah, interesting, but I think it's hard to kind of take away just from this game. And the reason why I say that, obviously it's week one, it's against Nebraska. When you're taking on teams like Louisiana Tech, going up against Liberty, Kennesaw, Arkansas State, for example.
That's when it counts.
That's exactly when it counts. So what Coach Walden said in the post game as well, he said the season's not defined on one game. Doesn't care if they lost 40-7, or if they won 40-7, it wouldn't have mattered. The season's not going to be defined in this one, so he's just going to evaluate it and kind of move forward. But yeah, that's interesting. It didn't feel like it was more passes than runs, just because of the defensive line by Nebraska just getting to wherever they wanted to at will. They didn't have to make second efforts on plays. It was there on the first one, and with UTEP when they were on defense, they may have been in position to make a play, but the adjustment was made right away by Nebraska. Whether they wanted to step to the side or you know, throw it a fancy, whatever the case was, they were a step ahead. So Nebraska was just the better team. That's why it's hard for me to kind of take away much from it.
Yeah, you said it best as far as the 26 pass attempts didn't feel like 26 pass attempts. It really didn't. It felt like, Alberto, they had these 26 pass attempts, but it felt like they were running the ball a lot.
Yeah, they were overwhelmingly running the ball, and what made it
feel like that,
and you know what made it feel like that is the unsuccessful running of the ball. So yeah, it's like Zay kind of really touched on all three of the topics, and it's like it's beautiful when he said them all three, because it's like full circle. It's like we failed to dominate in the trenches, and for that reason we failed to establish a run, and for that reason we failed to establish a play action pass, and that's like it's reflected here in the stats. So it's like next home game or next game in general, especially against a hard opponent, is we have to establish the run, because from that, in my opinion, the offense kind of really grows.
Well, especially against like a Southern Utah, right? Yeah. You got to establish the offensive line and the line of scrimmage in that kind of game. All right, let's talk other storylines that you guys are interested in this one, and then we'll start to put a bow on this one. We've already been on almost for an hour and a half, so we'll start to get to Southern Utah here in just a little bit. Zay, give me another storyline that you took away from this matchup.
Yeah, I want to talk about the freshman playing, because you guys told me it was two, right? And I was already excited, but I went back and looked at participation. I think it's four or five.
Wow.
And
okay,
a lot of them are in the trenches. I think Kyron Duhon, that's one that I know did play.
Eco
Taylor played. Jalen Jones played. Shea Smith played. So, I mean, they weren't afraid to throw the freshman out there. I think Duhon was the one who played the most. I saw him on a couple of snaps today, and he looks good. He's only 6'1", 250, but as a freshman being 6'1", 250, I mean, this guy, we can see him for the next, you know, 2-3 years. He might be a mainstay on that defensive line.
Duhon, Kyron Duhon, freshman, defensive line, wears 33. Keep an eye out, folks. I like that, Zay. Yeah, good eye right there. I didn't even know that he actually played that much, and now I'm looking at it. He played, it looks like almost the whole second half, only had a tackle, right? But it's more about that, you know, wow, just the fact that a freshman's out there for the Miners in this kind of game. I totally am with you on that. Ekro Taylor gets a little bit of action in this matchup, too. I'm just looking at some of the other names right here that we've been hearing a lot about. Jaime Guerrero checks into this matchup as well. I really like Joshua Dye throughout all the spring practices and stuff like that, so I was happy to see him get a carry and also get a catch as well in this matchup too. So yeah, there we go. Sal, any other takeaways? What'd you think of the helmets? What'd you think of the blue out for UTEP?
So you know what? If I had to rate it, I'm gonna rate it like a four. I think it's innovative in the sense.
And Zay is agreeing.
It's innovative in the sense of like, hey, it's something new. I guess that's an oxymoron, but you know what I mean. It's like it's something they haven't done before. But what irks me is the number font does not match the number font on the jersey. That is ridiculously horrendous, man. I don't get it. Not only that, but the numbers are just orange. There's no outline. When their base is white and blue for today, when it comes to the shirt and the pants, it's not really like that on the helmet, because the orange is kind of just outshining. It looked like the Oklahoma City Thunder football helmet, if it existed. I love OKC, but I just don't like that. I don't like the UTEP font, to be honest.
Okay, yeah. Alberto, were you swayed the other way because of this?
No, look, I was swayed the other way from the jump. Look, I have to go back to last year at some point in Miner Talk. I personally attacked the pick on the helmet, so them moving to the swinging Miner is kind of like I feel very, very satisfied. I feel happy right now. They listen to me. It's like it's like Christmas. I woke up on Christmas Day. I enjoyed it. I liked that they innovated with the helmet, with the numbers on the helmets. Yes, you're right. You could kind of touch it up a little bit and design it up a little more. But I liked it. You could have gone with the all color, right? You could have gone blue on blue. But I don't know. I probably would have gone all white if I really wanted to. I think that's really clean. So, do you think the oranges match?
Zay is like dying here. He can't even sit still. He's like dying over here to get in on this. Go ahead, Zay. Just grill it. Just kill this uniform right here for everybody.
Okay, first off, the oranges do not match. It's the ugliest thing I've ever seen. It's going to be uglier if UTEP ever wears these at the Sun Bowl because the turf is dark orange. The uniforms are bright orange, but that's another story. The swinging pickaxe, it's cool. It's a great idea. It's so small, and you could tell, like, it's so obvious it's a sticker. It looks so ugly. You can't even tell what it is when you're watching TV. You're like, what is that little, like, low-quality little dude on their helmet? Like, you can't even tell. It's a pixelated version of Pete. And, oh, the numbers. What are we doing?
Zay's like, come on. Zay can't take this.
This poor blue helmet. It gets a new decal every year. Last year they had the clear ones. Do you guys remember the clear UTEP decal?
Yes.
The ugliest thing ever.
Throw those away.
You know what? Get new blue helmets, please. That should be get new blue helmets. The material of them, they look so ugly. They look so like this is the JV team of Horizon High School.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Wow.
I'm on one today with these uniforms. Wow. Like I had to get it. I had to get it out.
Sal, anything else on the uniform? Just to put a bow on it.
So I like the icy whites. I do agree. If they went with the white helmet, it would have been nice. I love the white helmet with just the UTEP logo, not even the pickaxe, just UTEP as UTEP. As far as the painter that they use on the helmet, it's cool, but I think it's better as a patch, not so much an emblem. You know
there you
what
go.
I mean?
That's a good way. I think we can all agree on
but
that.
But as far as the numbers, man, that's what really kills me is because it doesn't match. You know, it looked like UTSA helmets.
So that's my problem with like the blue unis for game one. It's you come off as UTSA. Like, you're UTEP. Your dominant color is orange. Look at that poster over there. It's orange. Like, UTEP's an orange school. Like, that's the dominant color right there. They're supposed to be dominant with that orange. And like you said, there's the mismatching, the conundrum that is never going to solve itself. Everybody's already purchased every single shade of orange, and no one will ever, ever, ever have, or we will never see the Sun Bowl or any of these UTEP athletics events where everybody's wearing the same orange. That's just not going to happen. And so as a result, now you're having to compromise and just go with the blue. But I feel like if you're trying to put your product out there and be on a national stage, go with the orange.
This is like, I know we joke about this, but this is an identity issue. Like, this is a real identity issue that UTEP has. You're going, this is the 1:30 slot on Fox. This is the second time in 3 years you've had this. And I mean, if you're watching this game, you don't know who's playing. I could have said, hey, if I don't watch college football, I was like, is that UTSA or is that UTEP, right? You really can't tell. You really couldn't tell. I would have loved just to see the all white. It looks classier. It looks cleaner. Or the orange. I didn't like the blue.
Like
the blue.
Okay, that'll do it for it. Sorry to our listeners who hate uniform talk because we hear you at times. This one coming in from Leo_Minor_Fans. He's listening to us live, by the way. Shout out to you, Leo. Not going to lie, I jumped out and screamed on that touchdown the loudest since the Dana Dimmel special in the New Mexico Bowl. Wait, can we get a consensus on what's the Dana Dimmel special? Is it the tush push or is it the fake tush push pass? What is it?
What's the fake tush push because it was successful.
No, it's the calling a timeout when your team's getting blown out in the fourth quarter and everyone wants to get out of there.
That's it's the call Dana a timeout Dimmel. When yes. you come back from the half.
Yes.
It's call a timeout on the first play of the game.
That's what it is.
I can't one-up any of you guys. You guys one-up everybody.
The above.
Wow. All right. So now I guess it's – guys, I think it's time to turn the page. I think we have to look to next week. It's Southern Utah coming to town. We don't really take anything from that Southern Utah game because they were playing against one of the best teams in the country. Utah defeated them 49-0 this past Thursday. Mm-hmm. They have a quarterback in Jackson Berry. He went 6-for-11, 54 yards, an interception. They have a running back named Lamston who had 6 rushes for 44 yards. No one's going to do anything against this Utah team, just knowing how stout they are defensively. But what is Southern Utah? Who is this team going to be? That's my biggest question, Zay. What do you know on paper about this group right here, who's 0-1 after their first loss to an FBS team?
I do know that they went 6-5 last year, and Austin Peay did beat them by 3 points. It was a high-scoring 48-45 game, and you know I'm not sure who Southern Utah is, but at the same time, I'm still not sure who UTEP is. So we should be in for. I think it'll be an interesting game on Saturday.
They always are. Do we want to do the list? Do we want to go back in time and start to do all the UTEP FCS games? Because everybody just assumes, oh, since they're FBS or FCS, UTEP should lose. Sal, we've done this roller coaster before, and I guess it's time to do it again. We have to remind all our listeners about the challenges UTEP has had in recent years against FCS teams. So let's start off with the loss. Northern Arizona was the first loss. It was 30-10 loss at home to start off the Dana Dimmel era. Where were you when UTEP lost 30-10 against NAU, Sal? How about that one right there? Do you remember that one?
I think I was here.
I think we were both here. I think we were both here.
I was here, but they weren't there. No, that was obviously a heartbreaking one. But in all honesty, that was one that many expected.
I think so, too.
We're being honest. It was heartbreaking because UTEP can give Northern Arizona a chance, and they didn't even give them a chance. Northern Arizona came in and just stomped all over the field. So that was the disappointing fashion. And then from that point, it kind of catapulted into the, well, maybe if they can compete, then they might come out, you know, in the final 4 or 5 possessions, which is exactly what's happened after that.
Then the next year, they go up against Houston Baptist. Bailey Zappi was on their team. It was a back-and-forth game, and UTEP had to get a Gavin Beckley field goal to win that one 36-34. Feel free to jump in at any time, guys, on any of these games, if any of these stand out to you. Going over to the pandemic-shortened season, UTEP played 2 FCS teams that year. First one, Stephen F. Austin, they beat them by 10, 24-14. If you remember that game, it was closer than that score indicates, and that was only a 10-point game, but UTEP had to hold off Stephen F. Austin. In fact, Stephen F. Austin, they were only trailing. It was 17-14 at the half, and UTEP had to use a late touchdown in that game to actually separate themselves and win that one. Then Abilene Christian, who almost beat UTEP in that game. It was the Miners who ended up winning 17-13. That was in 2020. Going over to 2021, in that season right there, oh, and by the way, in the pandemic shortened season, I did not count Louisiana Monroe, nor will I count Bethune-Cookman. Should I count Bethune-Cookman, Zay? Should I? All right, I will. 38-28 is what UTEP, their final score was against Bethune-Cookman in 2021. That's the season where the Miners went to a bowl game. They went 7-6. Going over to 2022, in this season, they didn't play anybody out of the FCS ranks. And then last year, we know that they played Incarnate Word, and we know that game was a lot closer than it probably should have been. They used a strong running game to separate themselves in the end, but the Miners won 28-14, and at the half, it was tied 14-14. So they are no stranger to adversity against FCS opponents, and Scotty Walden should take note going into next week's game.
Yeah, he should, but you know, I feel like I have a little bit more confidence in Scotty Walden against an FCS squad, simply because, you know, he's been in the FCS. He has success against FCS teams. I think he knows what it takes to beat an FCS school, so I'm a little bit more confident for Southern Utah than I was against Incarnate Word last year. I think that's what I'll say.
Yeah. Oh, not me, not at all. Last year was supposed to be a bowl win season. Last year, I thought they were going to blow out Incarnate Word. No, no way. This year, I'm skeptical. I think they win, but I'm nervous. Just count me in the conversation for nervous. If we are talking about a 38-7 victory for the Miners against Southern Utah next week, no problem. No, I'll eat my words. No problem. But I think this one gets a little closer than people
really?
Think. Yes, yes. I've seen this team. I'm worried.
This is a new team.
I know this. No, you're right. I've seen this program.
This is Austin
okay,
too. Right.
Yeah.
Give me the defense, Sal, because you seem pretty high on the fact that UTEP's going to win this next weekend pretty easily.
Coach Walden didn't sound too excited, obviously, after the loss against Nebraska. He basically said they have a Sunday flush or something like that, where they flush it all out and then get ready. He's pissed, man. He wants to get this win at home. It's also a team that he took on last year, as they mentioned, 48-45. But we also got to be looking at this as well for guys who were on Austin Peay who come to UTEP. They're like, hey, we've quote-unquote upgraded, so to speak, and they want to go out there and repeat that success in a larger fashion. We're talking about Goodman, Jackson, Cam Thomas, who only had four carries for 22 yards and only four catches for 33 yards.
Mm.
He's way better than that from what we saw today. I think it's going to go off, man. There's guys who I think had unfinished business. And how about this? Fun fact, because I'm looking at the stats. Guess who caught two passes and 13 yards in that game against Southern Utah for Austin Peay?
Who?
Hatib Lyles.
Wow. Yeah. Nice one. Good so one. Good little nugget out. Right yeah. there. Parkland's finest. There I love go. It. Good stuff right there. All right, guys. I think we're starting to wind things down. Let's get some final thoughts from everybody here. My final thoughts are this. I still don't know a lot about this team. I still don't know a lot about what's going to happen here in the near future for UTEP football. Don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback, although my prediction is early that they're going to take and roll with Skylar Locklear here as a starter for next week based on what happened today. But I don't feel like we have much certainty after this one. I think the one certainty that we know is I like the DBs. I like the linebackers. The D-line needs to improve, and moving forward, this offense can be as fast and can be as advertised as they've been claiming they've been. So I'm interested to see what they could do at home in front of their home crowd. All the hype, highly anticipated, and I don't think the momentum is necessarily going away, but I do think that fans are going to be really, really locked in on next week. Let's start with you, Alberto. You give us your final thoughts here as we wind things up here on Minor Talk.
I'm just going to kind of reiterate some of the stuff you said. It's a huge game next week. I think it's going to be 30. I don't think. I know it's going to be 30,000 people plus. And if they replay that touchdown pass every night of the week, they can add a couple another thousand. But if it's just about, I'm kind of curious about the media tours that the Athletics is going to go on to try to kind of get some more excitement going right before the game. And I'm expecting it to be a close one against Southern Utah. A lot of guys transferred from Austin Peay to the UTEP Miners, and now we're kind of the Austin Peay of El Paso, right? We're the El Paso Governors, and we're kind of making ourselves into Miners. But a lot of that team that just defeated Southern Utah by only three last year, they're here with us. So I don't think we're light years ahead of them. And so I think they're going to want to come in here. Southern Utah's going to want to come in here and punch us in the mouth so that they can take a win from us as they almost did last year from Austin Peay. So I think it's going to be a close game, closer than a lot of people realize, and I'm excited for what we're going to see.
I have difficulty following your possessive tone, my friend, but let's keep it moving. You were saying we, and then you said Austin Peay, and I was like, what? I was like, wait, what? So I was like, no way, what? But no, I got you. I ultimately get you. I think, you know what you just said right there as far as the media tour really intrigues me too, because how do they pitch this? What's the sell? Just, you know, come out, watch a new product, watch a new team? I guess that's the case. Sal, your final thoughts here from tonight.
Yeah, so two things. I'll go one for today and then going into the game. But one, I think they played I think the outcome is kind of what I expected, and I think the same could be said for a lot of people. Nobody really expected UTEP to go out there and pull off the upset, maybe put up more points that I can get, but ultimately it's just a team who's bigger, faster, and stronger, who executed more. UTEP didn't execute much, if any, today, so when you get to go against a team who is more your speed, you may be a bit more than their speed, I think they're going to have a bit more success, and then, that's number two. You know, them being able to put all the talent and I think you said it right now, if they replay that touchdown pass, I think if they practice that that potential touchdown pass that they missed, they're going to get a couple more thousand on that too. So the opportunity's there, and that kind of segues into the final point I wanted to make. John Teicher, right before the end of the postgame show, he said, I kid you not, mark my words, Walden is going to win. There's too many skilled guys.
Okay.
This is a guy who's on his 45th season broadcasting UTEP football. Very, very strong guy. And, doesn't really say things like that. So. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, I like it. Zay, your final thoughts.
You know, we talked about this in the preseason pod. And, you know, I want to say next week UTEP finds their identity. They find out who they are and who they're going to be under Scotty Walden. But I know that's not true. It's not going to happen. You know, like you said, the season doesn't start until October. The season doesn't really start until Sam Houston. Because by then, we should know who this UTEP team is. They should know who that UTEP team is. We should know who the quarterback's going to be. We should know. We should have a somewhat of a foundation for this season alone. I'm not talking about for seasons next, you know, for this season. Yeah. We should know who UTEP's going to be, how they're going to win football games, but also how they're going to lose football games. So for me, you know, as long as you win, you execute, like Sal said. You know, I'm not looking for too much. That's all I'm looking for until October, when we have a more clear view as to who this team really is.
Okay. Hey, special thanks to Chris Alver with Inspo Lens. We have a Facebook Live and YouTube Live that we're going to be doing all season long with Minor Talk. I mean, hey, we've got football season that we're going all the way through November. Basketball season starts October 28th. So we are so excited to be partnering up with Inspo Lens. Check them out online, InspoLens.com. Positive storytelling all on Inspo Lens. Check them out online. $5.99 a month to subscribe now for some great storytelling all made here, like we're talking about here with Chris. Also want to give a big shout out to Jack in the Box. They are our sponsors here on Minor Talk, and a big shout out to them. They're open 24/7, 365, 7 days a week, and 15 locations in El Paso and Las Cruces. Our jack of all plays, it's going to Skylar Locklear's touchdown pass to Cam Thomas, no question about it. And we'll pick a winner for this big play. Those who chimed in on this one right here, and we'll award them one of the, one of the Jack in the Box gift cards that we had. Sal, everybody talked about Jack in the Box, and we love Jack in the Box, you and I.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes when we're here up until 3 a.m., 4 a.m., the only place to go with quality food, no traffic in your drive-thru, and right by the radio station, it's Jack in the Box.
Yeah, it's right down the street from us. It's Clutch. Definitely comes in handy when the Miners play those tournaments on the West Coast. They got those 10 o'clock broadcast, and you know we've been in the studio for some hours, and you know, a quick Jack in the Box run. Hey man, give me like 5 minutes, I'll be right back. So yeah, speaking from experience.
Love it, yeah. Sal, love it. And hey, really appreciate people like the District West, 3233 North Mesa, all the people who joined us out there. Can't thank all of them enough. Can't thank all the listeners out there enough for downloading, subscribing, and always tuning in to Minor Talk. Special thanks to the Oscarati at the agency. They help support us with the Win the West contest, and also our supporting sponsors like New Start Homes, 915 Tours, and of course, moving forward, Wind Supply El Paso. That'll do it for us. For Zay Galindo, for Alberto Reta, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off and saying so long. Thanks for listening to Minor Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.